that, ready for some Saints football. Tomorrow, the Saints will kick off preseason action against Jacksonville in the Caesars Superdome. WWL's game day starts tomorrow, 11 a.m. with me and Jeff Nowak for First Take. Who Dat Nation, that's the time to check in from your tailgate party. Then at 1 o'clock, countdown to kickoff with Bobby Hebert featuring Deuce McAllister and Mike Dettillier. Game time, 3 p.m. Turn down your TVs, turn up the home team, Deuce and Haas with Jeff on the sideline. Then after the game, join the Cajun Cannon for the point after till 9 p.m. 10 hours of wall-to-wall Saints coverage, Saints versus Jaguars, tomorrow on WWL and the free Odyssey app. Well, getting the radio crew here together. Got Jeff in studio. Deuce McAllister, color analyst on the line, joining us now on WWL. Deuce, man, are you ready for this game tomorrow? How you feel about, I guess, not what your playing days of, you know, playing in a preseason game, but do you get excited for calling a preseason game, even though, you know, we know the starters aren't really taking part?
Next question.
It's all reps, right? It's all about reps.
No. It's reps. And then you kind of realize what's at stake.
Right.
So for me, it's a rep. But then when you truly think about it, we may joke and play about it. But for some young man and his family, this is their livelihood. Mm-hmm. I mean, and so even though we know the starters aren't playing, this is meaningful, very meaningful for a lot of different players and people. And so the one thing that I don't want to – and it took some growth now. It took some growth to get here. But I don't want to belittle the opportunity of, one, calling the game, but, two, it does mean something. I mean, because, you know, we can talk about, well, the starters aren't playing. Yeah, but that young man that is number 47, 48 right now on the roster, he's trying to solidify his spot. That young man that's number 57 on the roster that may not make 53, he's trying to solidify his practice squad spot. So it does have true meaning. I mean, and so – you're excited for the guys that get the opportunity to go out and play, and you know you hope we know injuries happen. We just saw one and that hurt us the other day, but you hope that no one gets hurt, and you know you hope that they're able to put their best effort and foot forward to show that they deserve to be on the squad.
It really is a good point because, you know, it's like not everyone might know the names of the third string guys that get on the field in the fourth quarter. But, you know, that's the Super Bowl right there for them in terms of, hey, I want to be an NFL player. This is the tape that I get to put out there for these other teams as I go through my first offseason, my second offseason, whatever. So my question is, you know, is there a player or two who you are particularly eager to see get on the field either for the first time or in a bigger role, you know, as we've watched camp over the first 12 days and these guys have started to kind of solidify themselves either as a backup or a third team or anything of that nature?
Well, here's one. Here are two players, and I'm going to spotlight them just because they were picked up here recently as far as this year. Anthony Jennings and Tyree Wilson as far as for the Saints. You know, both of those guys, they're not first year guys. You know, you talk about high expectation guys, and so for them, they're trying to prove that I still have something in the tank. You know, this is a new opportunity, a new system for me, and I want to prove that I still have something in the tank. And so, you know, that's what, just like even for a rookie or even a second year guy, to be able to say, yes, that preseason game means something. This preseason means something to those guys, and so I want it, hopefully, for all of those guys for it to transfer to the field, because we've seen guys be phenomenal in practice, but then when the lights come on, you don't get that same player, you know, and whether it's because of the stage, whether it's because of the opportunities, whatever it may be, I hope that they can transfer what they've been able to do right there at 5,800. I hope it's able to transfer over to the field, and you know they're able to put their best foot forward. And you know, I'm excited for a couple of different guys. You know, you talk about guys that were here. We've talked about on the shows. When you look at the receiver room, you know, what do you get from some of your younger guys? What do you get from some of the guys that have been here? You know, and they make it hard for the Saints to say, nah, I know you like the flash of the young guys, but I'm still a guy that has to be accounted for. And then let's talk about, you know, just maybe a young player that got to play a little bit last year. Can we see Stutzman? You know, can Danny go out and prove and show that, you know, he has learned this offseason a thing or two where he can be reliable and dependable to say, yep, I can run with the ones and I can, you know, I can hold my own against any group of guys.
Deuce, looking at that joint practice yesterday, genuinely, I think, a very positive outcome overall. We talked about, obviously, with Jordan Tyson coming up with the hamstring injury being the biggest negative from that. But overall, we saw the defense still attacking, getting after the quarterback, putting on that pressure. And then on the offensive side of the ball, we saw the run game kind of have that spark, and even Tyler Shuck able to stretch the field more. We haven't seen those deep passes for him, a couple of those yesterday as well. So just curious, your overall impressions from that joint work out against the Jags?
Overall, you're pleased, but there's work to be done. I mean, there was one point where I kind of cheated the day because I was able to get kind of in the middle of the field. And so our offense, even dating back to Drew, our offense is always probably a tad faster than whomever. You know, we're talking about going back against the New England and Tom Brady. I mean, our offense has always been just a tad faster with getting plays in and being able to execute a play than last year was the same with the Rams. And so it was no different against Jacksonville. And so I got to cheat a little bit. And so I was able to watch both our offense and our defense in pretty much every drill. And the one thing I'll say, you were pleased with the run game for us because that's probably been inconsistent. Now, it doesn't help when you aren't in pads as much, but, you know, being able to be in pads and your defense not knowing what you're doing, I think that definitely helped. So you saw some lanes for both of those guys. And even Estimate, you know, he was able to have some lanes. But I made the comment, and I can't remember if it was Armstead or Bushrod, that whichever team's offensive line can give their quarterback just enough time, you saw explosive plays. I mean, because now, look, the Saints, and particularly Chase Young, and I know they're just reading some of the stuff from both sets of reporters, ours and Jacksonville, but Jacksonville felt like that Chase went against mainly their second and third string tackle. No, sir. He went against your number one tackle as well, and I know him because I played with his dad up at Ole Miss. Got to talk to him a little bit, but Chase Young kind of harassed him as well, kind of like he's done us as far as the Saints offense. But both D lines got after the quarterback. And so, you know, I know there's a shot that Olave was able to take advantage of Hunter. I'm not sure if Tyler was able to even gift that ball off because they did run a dog or at least a stunt. And there was immediate pressure from the defensive line on that play. Now, you know, you can't tackle a quarterback, and so you play through it, and it is what it is. I mean, because you could blow it dead and throw it in the ground, or you can continue to play. And so he continued to play, and he was able to hit Olave on some of those throws. There was one where you run a switch route, and Olave ends up in the end zone. Well, guess what? The next snap that they had, as far as Jacksonville is concerned, they had a screen that probably would have been a house call for them. I mean, and so I think, you know, overall you're pleased. I think the first pass for Lawrence was an interception by Julian Blackman. And so, you know, when that happens, I think that sets a tone when you talk about from a defensive standpoint and the little scuffle or whatever. Well, number five, the tailback, he goes and he kind of lowers his shoulder on Julian. And, you know, obviously the Saints DBs, they see it, lowers his shoulder, kind of gives him a little stiff arm. Well, guess what? The next play, they run the ball. And I can't tell. From my side, it was far from me. And I don't know if it was Quincy or if it was Julian coming down from his safety position. But if I have given you a stiff arm, don't you think I better get my shoulder pads down because you're probably about to tackle me? That's exactly what the Saints did. They tackled him, which is expected. And so after that, of course, the running back, he doesn't like it, and now you got the pushing and shoving. But it was broken up fairly quickly. You know, maybe a guy or two got a little push in. I don't think anybody was foolish enough to throw a fist, but it was physical, and it was a good showing. And you know, I think the Saints have to be kind of pleased with what they saw.
Yeah, I think the cutting out the second day of joint practices can eliminate some of those some of the fisticuffs, because I think if you went back out there today, there might be a little more revved up on the intensity. But I did think the Saints offense came out intense. Like, I thought they brought the energy to that practice in a way the Jacksonville defense didn't necessarily. And one of the big plays to kind of set the tone was Bryce Lance over the top. I think it's the first catch I've seen him make from with the ones from Tyler Shuck. And I'm just curious, you know, Bryce Lance is a guy that I feel like has been almost overshadowed a bit because Berrion Brown has been kind of the talk of camp and everyone's been excited about Berrion and what he's done for good reason. But Bryce is a fourth round pick, got that 6'3" frame, 4.3 speed, you know, and I feel like he's a player that I just want to see more from. I think there's some refinement that needs to happen, but we're going to get a heavy dose of him in the preseason. I mean, tomorrow, next week, probably week three as well. What have been your thoughts on Bryce Lance so far?
Well, he definitely needs refinement. I mean, and there's some stuff that he knows he has to work on, whether you're talking about just nuances of routes and just understanding how to use my body. But I mean, the one thing that you can't take away is the size and the speed, and just having those two aspects and being able to really just continue to refine everything else, that gives you a chance. I mean, because those guys just aren't popping up left and right. And the another one was Trey. Palmer. Palmer had one that was, I think it was, I'm fairly sure, it was Rattler that threw it to us. I mean, and it was on the money. But you see the speed. And I think that's one of the things that the Saints had to do, and they did this past offseason, just adding that element to this offense. But, I mean, I think with Lance and kind of runs a little linear, and that's some of just how his body is built. Being able to get in the weight room and work on the lower body a little bit will definitely help him, particularly when you talk about being able to get in and out of maybe some cuts when you're running some underneath stuff. But, I mean, he has all of the tools that you're looking for when you talk about just a young receiver and just continue trying to learn and wanting to polish him up as much as possible.
Deuce, for who that's going to the game tomorrow or even watching it on TV, know they're going to be interested in the running back room. We know Travis Achane, Alvin Kamara won't be playing. Kendra Miller, Devin Neal dealing with injuries. That leaves us with Audric Estime, Ty Chandler, and C.J. Donaldson. We saw a little bit of Estime last season, but what can fans expect from guys like Ty Chandler and C.J. Donaldson tomorrow?
Well, one with Ty, he's a guy that's been in the NFL for a minute. I mean, when you talk about those three guys, he has the most experience of all of them. So he's not a guy that's kind of in his second year or even third year. He's been, you know, in the NFL. So he's been there and done that. And for him, he's just looking for a consistent opportunity. I mean, particularly when you talk about coming off of an injury, some days are probably a little bit better than others when you talk about your body. But, you know, at the end of the day, you want a chance to go out and prove what you can do. And so for CJ, he's a heavier, he's a bigger back as far as weight is concerned. But, I mean, trust me, he brings a load. And then the one guy that, if you had to say, that's been just Mr. Consistent in that room has been Estime. I mean, so over the last week or so, he's been running a lot more with the ones. And one of the reasons, you know, is just because Kendra hadn't been available. And then you talk about Devin Neal hadn't been available. And so by him being there, he's gotten a lot more reps and just been able to say, hey, this is what I can do. I'm a lot more comfortable in this offense, and I feel that I deserve a shot at being that guy that you can depend on, whether it's third down, whether it's second down, whatever it may be. I can be a versatile piece for you. And then all three of those guys, they're going to have to show up on special teams just because, you know, Alvin and Achane and Travis, they're not going to be in those situations.
You know, Deuce, this isn't something we're necessarily going to see tomorrow because you're not going to have the starters out there. But I think coming away from that practice, one of the things that I feel like there's still room for growth in is the red zone offense for the Saints. Particularly, they were in the low red zone yesterday. And I just don't see them, like, they're running the ball well in the middle of the field, but you compress it. And I think when you're a team that wants to score consistently in the red zone, you got to be able to run the ball. You cannot rely on throwing the ball from the 3-yard line. And I don't know if I've seen enough of that. I'm curious, where do you land on the red zone offense for the Saints? They did get in the end zone a couple times yesterday, but they were both on fourth down. And I don't want to be relying on fourth down every time I get into the red zone. Just curious where you land on that phase of the offense right now.
Yeah, particularly when you're in, third, five and in, really not even third and in. You know, the one thing that you have to make sure that you're doing is you have the look that you want from a defensive standpoint, because a lot of times you can dictate kind of what the defense gives you. And what I mean by that is, based off of the personnel that you put on the field, I can kind of dictate what that defense gives me. And if they don't go to what I expect or what I'm looking for, then I'm either checking out of that play and I'm going to put it in the air, you know, and I'm going to depend on my speed guys that are in that game. But the other part of it is, how much red zone, goal line or short yardage have we seen them run or put in? So normally when you have these kind of practices, some of that stuff you haven't even worked on, really. Or if you have worked on it, you hadn't worked on it a lot. And so, you know, last year, you remember back when Bink was here, when Saunders was here, he at one point was almost like your heavy guy. And so we haven't seen the Saints kind of go to that look, or even if they have that type of look, I'm sure they do, because that may be what they like in some of those heavier situations where, hey, we're going to run duo, or we're going to run power, and this will be what we use, you know. And we talk about it all the time as well with the offensive lineman. Putting a sixth guy in there, since you don't carry a true fullback on the roster, and now I'm not asking one of my tight ends to be that guy, I'm just telling my lineman, hey, you got the mic linebacker, you help that tackle out, you know, swab it, rub it a little bit, but you've got that play side backer or the mic linebacker, and, you know, go give me a yard in the back, they'll give you the other half a yard.
Deuce, man, thank you so much for the time. I know you're heading out to the Rouses out on the North Shore there in Mandeville. Tell folks a little about what they can do, meet up with you, get an autograph, say hey.
Yeah, well, first and foremost, we're glad that the Saints football season here.
Amen.
And so, you know, you'll get an opportunity to hang with me for a little bit at the Rouses over here on this appearance, not just mine, but this won't be our last appearance. As we venture off, you know, we'll be all over the city and really all over the region at the Rouses and some other locations. So I'm looking forward to any Hoodass that can come out. We talk a little shop, talk a little football, and, you know, let's go Saints. Let's go get a W. Let's go have some fun tomorrow.
Hoodat Deuce, appreciate you and look forward to the call tomorrow.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Deuce.
And Deuce kind of cut out there, folks. Just so you know, it's at 3161 East Causeway Approach in Mandeville, Louisiana. The Rouses Market out there. He's representing Crown Royal, doing an autograph signing from 5:30 to 7 p.m. He can meet up with Deuce before tomorrow's preseason game.